I bring greetings from Musiman Native Fellowship, and I also bring greetings from Territorial Drive Alliance Church. Before I start, I just sense the Holy Spirit is thick in here, so I just want to give thanks to the Lord and just take a moment, just ask Him to fill my words with what He wants to say. So let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for being such a good God. Lord, I always feel so inadequate when I try to do things on my own, Lord. So, Lord, I need You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You'll continue to fill me up one more time, Lord. And, Lord, may You receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And, Heavenly Father, if I leave and no one knows my name, that's fine. Lord, but I want them to know how good You are, how awesome You are, and how much of a redeemer You are. So, Lord, I pray that this service will be pleasing to You. And, Lord, I pray that people will be encouraged and lifted up. And, Lord, and everyone's, in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, before we start, I didn't want to cry in here a bit. I have a message for you three. You guys could be anywhere in the world right now, but you guys are actually made it to church, and this is one of the most ungodly times in humanity to try and go to church. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. God loves you guys. I just had the sense that I need to tell you guys that. He loves you guys. You guys are amazing. Yes. I believe that God is telling me that your sign language, He took that as an offering of a praise, and He is well pleased. Thank you. Okay, I think I'm done crying. let's get this out. I want to say good morning and just bring greetings from our two churches. And then Pastor Keith had pulled me aside and said, Tyrone, you're going to Westgate Alliance. And I'm like, fine. I don't know who they are, but fine. And then he's like, no, Tyrone. He says, these guys are crazy. And they're abnormal. I'm like, okay. Then he got my attention, right? So I was like, all right, okay, what makes them like that way? And he says, well, you know what? A lot of churches are known for their faith or their theology, right? But this church is known for their radical act of giving, love, and support. And then he said there's a multi-million-dollar facility, a housing facility outside the church because these guys want to love the poor, right? So you guys are abnormal, and I just want to praise God for you guys. So I would just like to, just to give honor where honor is due, can I get your pastor to stand up and his much better half, Pearl? Right? Am I right? There she is. So let's thank you guys. Yeah. Don't slow down. Keep going. The best is yet to come. In our busy lives, in attendance today is my lovely wife, Ginger. I get a little shy when she comes out. So if you hear me stutter, or if you see me go like this with my hands, well, it's her fault. Then after that, you will see her casually go like this. She'll see my face turn red, and she'll be like, breathe. Then she will give me the most beautiful smile I've ever seen. Then, through the Lord's power, everything will be okay. Her pep talk is, don't use notes, which I think is dumb. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you, which I think is real smart. Don't breathe too fast. Don't speak too fast. Don't try to sound smart, Tyrone. Be yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, here I am. I literally try see Satan destroy her life. My wife has one of the hardest jobs in the world. She's a band counselor. Literally, she's trying to do the impossible for the ungrateful many times. I just see Satan just really attacking her. So today she's a little bruised, but she's still standing for the Lord. So can I get everyone to stand up and give God a praise offering? I was given a couple questions, and usually that's not kind of the norm for me. I just kind of like, okay, God, where are we taking this? And let's go with it kind of thing. But one of the questions I was given is, what is God doing in North Battleford? And if some of us seen the W5's news report last night, did anyone see it about the Balfours? Yeah, that's it's pretty bad, pretty harsh. But at the same time, is I believe right now there's a correction happening in the Balfours. And I believe it's going to cause a repentance from North Balfour. And I believe that... I believe that 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 will happen in the Balfours. And it goes like this. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. So man... W5 made it seem like it was impossible what's happening in the Balfours to ever get better, but I believe that if we just repent, God's going to heal our land, and you know what, the Balfours are going to be amazing again. Another question I have was how did you connect with North Balfour Alliance Church? And that was kind of funny because when I first came back to the Lord, in the video there, I so desperately wanted to find a church, a body of believers that loved each other, sacrificed for each other, served each other, and I was going to go anywhere to find it. And we were so broke. Most Sundays, I'd have to borrow money to try to get to church. But you know, I wanted to find Jesus. So I went into the Alliance Church, and as I went in, someone that has no self-worth. That day, a penny had more worth than my self-worth that I thought I was worth. So when I came through the back door, I got a lot of cold shoulders and cold looks, right? And then from there, when someone broken or a prostitute or a drug dealer or someone that's a homeless person or someone suffering from addictions, when they come into our churches, they're going to be always the last to come in, and they're always going to be the first to go out. And you know what? They're here because they want to find redemption through Jesus, and they want to hear the message. So when they come in, they're going to want to be in the back, right? So as we look at our back pews in our churches, those are all full, right? So not knowing by accident, today, we have just programmed this church to tell the broken, the hurting, you're not really welcome here. And it's done by accident, right? Because when I first came to the Alliance, I so wanted to get in there and find the Lord, but then there was not one seat in the back for me. So I had come to the front to get my seat. And as I came to the front, I seen a lot of cold stares that morning. Right? And I even seen a few elderly ladies grab their purse. And you know what? That was so hard because for me, I didn't want what was in that purse. I wanted to find Jesus. At the end of it, I just left the service early with no intention of ever coming back to the Alliance Church. I left hurt. I left feeling like I was a thief. Right? And I just want to find Jesus. I want to find redemption. I want to find healing, but I didn't find it in the Alliance Church that day. I went to another church. You know what? And this church, it was radical. It caused my faith to grow. It caused me to want to have a love for the Lord. It was a little big church in a little city, so it was kind of our mega church. And you know what? That church was amazing. Pastor Dan Glass would show up to the reserve. This guy's whiter than snow, and he'd show up to the harshest part of the reserve, and he would radically love me, and it'd be once a month. Once a month, I knew that me and Ginger, we had to keep our house clean because he was showing up tomorrow, most likely, right? So 2 weeks, it'd be messy, and then after that, then it was clean again, right? So yeah, and this guy was crazy. But then from there, with the church, with the brokenness, 9 out of every 10 fatalities in our reserve were alcohol-related. No one is dying of old age. As a Christian pastor, you don't want to say, you were lucky that then if you died of cancer. As one body would come out, another body would come in, another body would go out. And then sometimes we would go for at least 1 or 2 weeks, but then there'd be another death, another death, another death. And that was the norm. And then you know what? God had radically restored me and Ginger's life, and we were just thinking, you know what? Maybe God could do something with this reserve. Being so inadequate, we just started praying to God. God, send someone. God, send someone. God, send someone. God, send someone. God, your children are dying and going to hell. God, your children are hurting. God, don't you listen? God, please. And then one day in an audible tone, God said, I've sent you, me and Ginger. Then from there, it was like, God, well, you know that I have drug and alcohol abuse, so I have short-term memory loss. So God, there's someone better out there. Find them and send them. And then God just said, I've sent you. And I was like, okay, God, I'll go on one condition. You come with me. And I didn't hear God disagree that day, right? So, but at that point, Ginger was praying as well. So I'd be reading my Bible for 4 hours a day, just getting in the Word, being filled. And as I would read my Bible, God would cleanse my soul, and then it'd be bubbling over, and I'd always be crying. If you get to know me, I'm a crying mess, right? But it's just God just renewing, God just filling up what was broken and destroyed by sin. From there, we thought, well, you know what? We're just going to, anyone that prays, we're going to team up with them. We're going to go to the north side of the reserve, and we're going to start a prayer walk. So then the Catholic Church was there too. And like, God, if you hear their prayers, praise God, let's go, right? So we went there, and then we came, and then there was a huge fire raging. And then it was just like the elders were like, that's Satan himself trying to stop this prayer walk. So what we're going to do is we're going to have the elderly and the children, we're going to put them on the other side of the fire, this prairie fire, raging prairie fire, and we're just going to trust that God will walk through us with this, through this fire. Made it to the other side, picked up the kids, made it to the other side of the reserve, and then since then, God has lifted that curse in Musiman First Nation. There was so much death that the band hall had burned down, and there was no money to replace it. There was so much death there that the arena, it was like a $10 million facility, beautiful, just got left and abandoned. It has since been restored and refurbished and made brand new, which is so cool, so that the kids have something to do in the wintertime. The band with so much death was $250,000 at the funeral home at that time. But since then, now, in 2018, our church is praying that there'll be a zero alcohol-related fatality rate and a zero suicide in our reserve. And we're already in month 9, right? To the glory of God. So, you know, and reach the most broken people, they're normally the most financially broke people, right? That's just kind of how it is. So they're like, we just like, okay, Lord, and we don't want to put our tithing bucket, we don't want to put our tithing bucket in the front and shame people when they don't have anything to give, right? So we put it on the piano, and then normally tithing will happen on a Monday or Tuesday, right? People will put a few bucks in there, which is cool. And even to the point where Margaret, our elder, she will go to the food bank on Tuesday and still try to find a way to bring a little cake to church on Sunday. Right? God is her treasure. Why we started the church is maybe even just for Margaret, because with Margaret, Her husband died 12 years ago in a horrific car crash. Her two daughters have committed suicide. One other daughter is going through a really, really rough time, and pretty much all five of her other boys are dying of alcoholism. But you know what? God is Margaret's greatest treasure. She came to church one day with an intravenous, 45 minutes late to work with a gauze nose, and she just looked beaten up. And it was just like, well, if you're that late to church, maybe you should just stay at home. And she's like, I got a confession, she said. She stood up, and they were like, okay, what is it? And then she was like, at 7 o'clock, I got a bleeding nose. At 9 o'clock, they rushed her in, 911 rushed her in. And at 3 in the morning, they were trying to do everything. At 3 in the morning, they thought she was dying of a heart attack. So they're pumping her full of blood. And then she said, I just got released from the hospital. And she said, as long as I can move and as long as I have breath, I'm still going to come to church. So can we give God a praise offering? Just this last year, we got a phone call from these ladies, Midwest District, and they raise support for ministries, right? And somehow our name got mentioned to them, and since then they have picked us up for last year, where they raised support so we could send many of our youth to camps and suicide conferences. They helped with buy equipment for our church, and it's just been a really major, cool support. And I would just challenge you guys, just could pray for them, and as they go out and serve people and love people and help people. And I guess it was going so well that next year also they decided to pick up Musumin Native Fellowship as well. And this puts a lot of wind back in our sail, because you know what? We don't want to change our target group, right? We don't want to change our target group from the most broken and hurting people to people that can tithe, right? And as we've been faithfully going out and saying, you know, God, you are a provider and we're going to go, you know what? God's been actually meeting us in such crazy big ways. So we definitely are thankful to God. What is God doing in the North Belford area? God has challenged me. He's given me the vision. Is when we first started ministry, all we wanted was my people to die well. That's all we wanted, right? But you know what? December 20th, I left a high-paying career, bonuses, truck, free fuel, everything, because I wanted my people to live well also. Not only just die well. So then from there, God's given a vision of four more house churches similar to that of Musumin Native Fellowship. It's a house church. Keep the cost low, but still have a high impact for Christ. And to God be the glory. So, and it's an impossible feat, it seems like, because it took us 5 years to get Musumin Native Fellowship to where it is. And then God's like giving us this other crazy vision. But meanwhile, since God's given us that vision, since we've stepped out in faith, two other churches came on board. A bigger church, an AGC church, came. Hey, we've been praying that we can get on Musumin on Red Pheasant Reserve, and we desperately want to get there. We want to love them. We want to serve them. We want to just do whatever we can for them. But we heard that you guys like to do church planning, and we would like to support you guys as you put a house church on Red Pheasant Reserve, not knowing our prayer request to God just a week before, 2 weeks before, right? God burned their hearts, and here they're here. They come along and they say, you know what? We want to support that. We want to support you guys as you guys plant a church in that community. Two of the last churches in that community, the big, beautiful churches, got burnt to the ground. Yeah, so we're pretty sure they're not going to burn houses to the ground, right? Lord willing. So we're going to put house churches in that community. And then with the house church, they get to radically love each other, sacrifice for each other, be there for each other. And it's crazy to see how communities grow through just a little house church. When we went to General Assembly, what happened was the Scarborough Chinese Alliance Church, they came up and they said, what you're doing is great. we want to support one of your churches. We want to buy one of your churches. And I'm like, what? kind of thing, right? So, and he's like, and he had like pretty much his checkbook, and he's like, how much do I owe you, right? So I'm like, I don't know, like you don't want to offend the guy, or you don't want to ask too much. So I sent it to Keith to for them to haggle out numbers, kind of thing, right? So yeah, and it's just like, as we step on faith, when God's given us visions, God has always provided. God has always protected. God has always walked with us. God has always been faithful. But the problem was for us just to step out in faith. That's the hard part, is to leap out in faith. What is God doing in Tyrone and Ginger's life and our family? Much of the successes that I get to share with you today are actually done through my wife Ginger and her ministry. She not only like goes to town 10 times during a 10 meeting kind of thing, but also she kind of has the woman's ministry where they gather together, go out for coffee, radically love each other and serve each other. And since then, a couple years ago, this one lady was struggling with meth real bad, had an overdose, died, went to hell, had the hell experience. She's seen many of the people in our community there, right? She's seen one in particular that was a gang member being real bad. She's seen him in hell. And then all of a sudden she said two hands of light went and grabbed her. Obviously it was Jesus, brought her back. And since then she's been going into drug houses and even to the people that she's seen in hell and saying, I've seen you in hell. You don't want to go there. You want to live for Jesus. It's much better this way, right? And she's been radically going forward to share her story. Yes, she does fall. She does stumble. But just like a righteous person, no matter how many times you fall, what do? When you fall? Get up, eh? Yeah, she does that. She gets up, and she's so courageous. And we have other crazy stories like that because I don't have time to go and hang around people that are messed up on meth and this and that. But Ginger, she takes the time. And, you know, it's dangerous, right? When she's redeeming people from gangs and meth, that you know, people tend to almost see her as a threat and threaten her. But she still walks for the Lord. And I think that's so cool. I just got recently invited through the Gideons of Canada, because we always talk about people in Africa, how they make 100 times less than us, but they still come to minister to us in the First Nation reserves. And it was like, why can't we get over there and minister to them, right? And if they make 100 times less, but they can still come share the gospel and bless us, why can't we go there? So in our prayer, we're like, Lord, we want to get to Kenya. And then since then, last week, I got invited to go with the Gideons of Canada to go minister in Kenya in a month and a half. God wants to bless us. And I'm not, if you guys know me at all, I am definitely not a prosperity pastor. But you know what? God wants to bless us so we can be a blessing to the nations, right? And I see God blessing you guys so you guys can literally be a blessing to the nations as they come into Saskatoon. So let's give God. Yeah, so I get invites all over Canada now, and none of this would have been possible without the Lord, and none of this would have been also possible without my lovely wife Ginger and everything she does as well. I love you guys. That's why I'm here. And I want to leave you guys with something. So we get to go to many of the most broken places in Canada to share the gospel. And this is something I'd like to share with you guys today. I get to go to many broken places to share the gospel to the hurting and broken children. Within hours, we, through the Lord, can find the most depressed and suicidal youth. Is there anyone who wants to try a fun little drill? Anyone? Hands up. Boo! Boo! Okay, all right, we're going to try this drill anyways, and you guys are going to like it. Okay, so I need all the ladies. If you're a lady, I need you to stand up right now. Ladies, stand up. Okay, I need you to say, I am pretty, I am special. Yes. One more time.
I am pretty, I am special.
One more time.
I am pretty, I am special.
Perfect. Thank you, Sam. Okay, I need all the fellas to stand up, and I need you to say something really important. I need you to say, I'm handsome, I'm important. Okay, say it again. Okay, one more time. One more time. Amen. Yes, you are. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, I need everyone to stand up now. Pentecostal Sunday. I need everyone to say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. So, growing up, I thought I was the most ugliest guy in the world. I thought, you know that, anyone ever watch that Goonies? Where the monster is jumping off the pirate ship and he's like, hey, you guys, kind of thing. Does anyone remember the Goonies? Yes, good. I thought that guy was way more handsome than me. And growing up, I thought it was a mistake. So therefore, it was so easy for me to destroy myself with drugs and alcohol. My identity wasn't in Christ, and I didn't have a clue I didn't have a clue that God thought so highly of me. I didn't have a clue that God actually loved me. I didn't have a clue that God was actually there for me. And as I figured this out, we get to literally go to the most broken places in Canada and share the gospel to the most hurting people in Canada. And through what we did, we can normally find in 300 people in less than 3 hours who is suicidal and who is probably thinking of suicide even that night. The people that usually won't stand up are usually like pretty girls or like handsome boys in the community, and they just get attacked to the point where they feel like nothing. We get to go tell them that, you know, my Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. My Bible says you're precious in God's sight. My Bible says that God considers you his masterpiece. So we would never take an axe to a Mona Lisa or kick a Da Vinci or our Mona Lisa painting at all. We wouldn't do any of that, right? But why would we abuse ourselves? Why would we put ourselves down, right? When we are so valuable. As we get to go to that, we literally have kids will just run up to us and jump and say, you know what, I needed that. I needed that. With 300 eyes that are on us, usually we find 6 that are suicidal. And usually through preaching through them, through a couple days, usually 5 of them will dedicate their lives to the Lord, receive healing, receive a brand new life through Jesus, and are totally transformed. Normally, there's one, yes. Normally, there's only one that we can't crack. Every community, it breaks our hearts. One we can't crack. But you know what? That one we can't crack, like it's not us, it's through the Lord, of course. It's what we do is we leave their name with a police officer, the health clinic, the health nurse, the school guidance counselor, their principal, and their parents, so that they don't, and the church, so that they don't have to go through their storms alone. Amen. In my travels, there is something that is striking and hurting so many of the youth. It is literally dropping many of our strongest youth to their knees, and even making many teens prisoners in their own bedrooms. Today's topic is anxiety. Many teens are ashamed of the past, and many others are afraid of the future. Many people are even afraid of sickness and death. Some teens are even worried about interacting with other people. Anxiety is a monster demon, and it chokes the life out of you. God wants to give you peace. We are called to live in peace, not to live in paranoia. We are not called to fear or torment. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict to the law." Romans 14:17 says, For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and in the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Bible talks about flesh, which is our worst enemy, one of our worst enemies. And Galatians 5:17 says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. When Jesus gave himself on the cross and shed his blood for you, he didn't die just for the forgiveness of your sins. He died to make you whole. He died to make you brand new. He died to give you peace. He died that even the effects of sin might be removed from you. When you sin, you damage your conscience. When you sin, you cause shame to come into your soul. When you sin, you disconnect yourself from the Lord and find yourself in chaos, find yourself in concern, worry, and doubt. All of these things torment your mind. Guilt torments your mind. Shame torments your mind. Jesus wants to bring you peace and heal your mind. The Bible refers to Jesus as being the Prince of Peace. Many people don't have peace because they haven't really met Jesus. Maybe there is someone today saying, I have lived for myself for way too long. I have lived with my burdens, pain, shame for way too long. I want a new life. I want peace. I want Jesus in my life. I double dog dare you. Now could be the most important time of your life. Come to the front. I would like to lead you in a little prayer. Or maybe if there's someone that is living in sin, that just wants to lay their problems at the feet of Jesus and receive healing and forgiveness, I would challenge you guys, just come up. Because this place, this church, is supposed to be a hospital for the hurting, right? And you know what? Every Sunday, there's probably someone that comes in, it's like, oh, I wanted to leave my problems, but I was afraid of what people thought of me. And then go back out and suffer for another week. I would challenge you guys, if there's anyone that wants to make their life right, just come up right now. I'll just lead you in a little prayer. And then, you know what? You can receive healing. You guys got 5 seconds if anyone wants to do that. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I always want to give a chance where someone is struggling, someone's hurting. I always want to give them a chance to lay their problems at the feet of Jesus and receive healing. Jesus paid such a high price for your sins. Jesus paid such a high price for peace. If Jesus wanted us to live in torment, anxiety, fear, and death, he wouldn't have came down to earth and lived the life I should have lived and died a death I should have died. He did it because he so loved us. Amen? Can we give God a praise offering? 4 steps to help combat anxiety. Number one is obey. Seems simple, pretty tough. 1 John 4:18 says, such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows we have not fully experienced his perfect love. Amen. Perfect love of God removes fear. Disobedience makes us afraid and robs us of peace. When we don't live under God's obedience, we invite clutter, torment, conflict, and chaos into our lives. When we are living in fear, we are afraid of punishment. God's love is pouring down from heaven like a crazy rainstorm. When we are disobedient, the problem is not in God's love. It is because our disobedience is like rubber boots, rain pants, a raincoat, a rain hat, and a big, big umbrella. It becomes hard for us to receive God's love when we are not walking in accordance to God's law. 1 John 5:3 says, loving God means keeping his commands, and his commandments are not burdensome. I'd like to tell you guys something. It is impossible to have both evil and peace in our lives. 1 Peter 3:11 says, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Sometimes peace is going to take some hard work to find and some hard work to maintain. Amen? It's not going to be easy all the time. Isaiah 48:22 says, but there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. Disobedience is a door to anxiety in your life. When you are not walking how God wants you to walk, you are inviting anxiety and fear into your life. The further you walk in disobedience, the tighter the grip of anxiety will be in your life. If you want to be free from fear, you must walk in obedience to God. Psalms 119:165 says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. I think that was so good. Maybe I should read it again, eh? Yeah. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Everything in this book is true and can be trusted. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. When you love this word so much, you walk in it. And when you obey it, you walk in his perfect peace. Number two, prayer. Ooh. I always say ooh because, you know, like the confession, if we would all be honest, we all probably don't pray as much as we think we should, right? Can I get a hand up? Yeah. All right. Prayer requests open the door to peace in our lives. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live for Christ Jesus. This scripture takes the weight of burdens off of us and places them into the hands of God. Amen? I might have to repeat that one more time. I didn't get enough amens. This scripture takes the weight of burdens off of us and places them into God's hands.
Amen.
Was that enough amens or one more time? Amen? Okay, yeah, good. Okay, all right, sorry. Okay, all right. And number three is trust. Trust, yes. And you know, because like in Muslim Native Fellowship, we realize, you know what, the days of us feeding people need to be over. What I mean is we tend to just feed people and not let them grow, right? Jesus wants warriors, right? And you know, when you get up and you stand up for Christ, man, you know, it's easy for disciples to then create other disciples, right? Amen? Okay, so I would like someone that's brave to read some scripture. Is there anyone that's brave and bold? Anybody at all? Yes, you, my darling, you come up here. I'll even give you my Bible. Okay. All right, so we have a warrior here, eh? Thank you. Okay, so we are going to read right here. Right there.
25.
To right there, yeah.
Perfect.
All right, you got it, girl.
That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or even clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing, yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we wear? What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God and above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And I can say, let your past go and go forward.
Yes, amen. All right, thank you. Yeah, so why we do that is because if it's hard for us to challenge each other, equip each other, and make each other bold in the church, it's going to be impossible for us to do that out there, out of the four walls of the church. Am I right? Yeah, so that's iron sharpens iron. That way we get people to read, and just step out in faith. So thank you very much. Where were we? Okay, we were right around. Yeah, we were in trust. Man has a desire to control everything, and that desire is expressed through worry. Okay, what did I just say? Man has a desire to control everything, and that desire is expressed through worry. Worry is a useless attempt at control. Okay, this is the part that you guys got to remember. Okay, so worry is a useless attempt at control. So, one more time. One more time. Amen. Our mind tricks us to think that if we worry about something enough, we can prevent it from happening. And that is a lie. Number four is worship. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who are trusting in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Worship is only worship when you are focused on God. If you are focused on your worries, if you are focused on your problems, if you are focused on Facebook, if you are focused on any other situation while you are worshiping, you're not really worshiping. God inhabits the praises of his people. I believe that you and the Holy Spirit, when you walk forward in faith, are powerful beyond measure. Amen. Lord willing, today, at this moment, we, through our Lord Jesus, will equip you that when you go back to your, like, parts of your communities, you guys will be able to be warriors for Christ, and you guys will be able to help combat anxiety and depression through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to equip you guys one more thing. I guess what kind of really made me nervous was the shot clock up there. It says 10 minutes and 59 seconds. So I've been racing kind of thing, and I just realized it's still 10 minutes and 59 seconds. So I have no clue where I am right now. But I just need you guys' attention for just two more minutes maybe. Because we get to go and we just had a Project Hope 400 Aboriginal youth at the Saskatoon Inn 3 weeks ago. They flew from all over Saskatchewan. We got to share the gospel, love them, and part of getting there is help them combat suicide. Because what we really want to do is we want people, when they come, not just to hear about suicide, but also equip them to combat suicide for when they go back to their own communities, right? A lot of times when I get to go to places, I'll tell people, I'll actually just give them my number. I'll just say 441-5031. If you're thinking of suicide, give me a call. Then people actually will phone me, right? Six steps anyone can take to help prevent suicide. Number one is ask. Ask yourself and ask others. Are you thinking of suicide? That's a tough question, but that's a question that can actually save lives. Number two, be present. Be there for them. Don't be mean and listen. And a lot of times for us Christians, that's the hardest thing to do is because we have an answer or a scripture, but sometimes we just need to listen. Number three, be there for them. Be a friend. Be a safe person they can depend on. But don't, and this is what we always tell people, but don't keep suicide a secret, because many times we get to go to a northern community where people will make a suicide pact. Well, if you commit suicide, I will. Also, next thing you know, you got 10 suicides. And it's like, how did it happen? Right? That's one promise you can and should break is suicide. Number four, help them connect with a friend, family member, counselor, principal, pastor, suicide hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. Help them reach out to someone so that they don't have to go through their storms alone. Number five, check in on them. Text them, Facebook them. And for us First Nation people, make a smoke signal. Right? Yeah. Just to say, hey, I want to make sure you're okay. And one of the most and very important things we can do is pray. Pray, pray, pray. I encourage you, if you're sad or hurting, don't suffer in silence. Seek help. We tell people that, you know what, if someone is suicidal and no longer responding back to your texts, your phone calls, or whatever, we just tell people, immediately call 911, because that's a call that might help save their life. So I would just like to thank you guys for listening to us today. As we go forward, we know God's with us. I would just like to ask you guys to keep us in your prayer, keep Ginger in your prayer, myself, my kids. It's a battlefield, and some days we tend to get worn out when you're dealing with the most broken people. Also pray that God will continue to fill up our cup, because many times, if I would be an honest confession, many times I've been trying to give from an empty cup, right? Whenever we minister, it actually should be an overflow from a cup. And many times when I was ministering, it was an empty cup, right? I was trying to give what I didn't have. I just release a blessing on you guys. I challenge you guys, keep going forward. Your best days are before you when you walk hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. You guys are powerful beyond measure. And as you guys walk forward in faith, you know what? Your best days are before you.